Well, thank you, Pastor Vicente, for letting me come and speak to you today. Thank you for embracing Miss Sarah as well and allowing her to be a part of your church here. And God has greatly blessed your church. This would be a very large church body in Cambodia. Any church body that had five men in it that were faithful would be a very large church already. And I'm looking out and seeing quite a few young men. Praise the Lord for that. Older men too. Praise the Lord for that. John chapter 1. Before I start speaking about my message, I'd like to read to you John 1, 1 through 3 in the Cambodian language. And I want you to hear that before I begin. Johan chimput mui ka mui da ka bay. Kal dam dam bong min pre bantul. Pre bantul kung nau chi mui. Pre hai pre bantul nu aing chi pre. Pre ong kung nau chi mui pre tang pi dam bong. Krup robot teng oh ban kaat mok dai sa pre ong. Hai kmin away na mui kaat mok rao pi pre ong lai. My son Elijah and I were talking about listening to you all speak Tagalog. And we're thinking, wow, it's the way the language kind of bounces is just like Cambodian. So I wish I could preach to you in Tagalog, but I'm sorry. John chapter 1. When I was asked to speak, my first thought was, I just wanted to lift up the name of Jesus before you. Just wanted to speak much of Jesus, and I thought, what place could I do that that would be better than John chapter 1? So John chapter 1, the Gospel of John is a very deep book. It's a lot about who Jesus is, and the Apostle John speaks more deeply about who Jesus is than any other writer. So when you read the Gospel of John, you're constantly reading, who is Jesus? What is Jesus like? What did Jesus say? Who did Jesus say he was? And the very first sentence in this book is a very deep one. So you read John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word. Who is John talking about when he says the Word? Here in this verse. You tell me. Who is he talking about?
Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. What you may not know is why John chose to describe Jesus as the Word. Why the Word? Of all the things that John could have described Jesus as, why did the Holy Spirit lead the Apostle John to call Jesus the Word? Well, it very may well be because of Greek philosophy, because in the days of the New Testament, Greek philosophers talked about something called the Logos. The Logos. And what that was is a reference to some being, someone who was the first cause, someone who was in the beginning that caused everything to happen, the person who is the source of all the things in the universe. And they didn't know who that was, but they referred to whoever that was as the Logos. So John here is describing Jesus as that one who is the source of all things, the one who was before all. All life came from him. He is the Logos, Jesus. And when you translate that into English, it is the Word. So, in verse 1 of John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus, the Son of God, is the Logos. He is the source of all things. He was in the beginning of the universe. He already existed. He was there. And the Word, this person that John's talking about, was with God. And the Word was God. So, the Son of God, Jesus, that John is describing, was with God in the beginning of the universe and is God himself. So, wow, that first sentence in the Gospel of John is packed and powerful in telling us this is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He's not just a religious teacher, a good man. He's not the creator of a religion. He's just not one more God out there or another religion, leader of religion out there. He is God himself from the beginning. In verse 2 it says, the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the eternal God, the eternal Son of God. Verse 3, all things were made by him. All things were made by who? They were made by Jesus, the Word. Something that I find very interesting is how another reason why God calls Jesus the Word, the Son of God, the Word. This verse tells us that when God wanted to make all things were made by Jesus, the Son of God. When God the Father wants something to get done in reference to mankind, he always does it through the Son. God the Father says the Word, and the Son does it. God says, I want to create the universe. And the main person in the Trinity that God uses to create the world is God the Son, the Word. When God says, I want to save mankind from their sins, I need a way of salvation, and I need someone to be that way of salvation, it is the Word, the Son, that comes to be the salvation for mankind. When God says, at the end of time, we are going to have to judge mankind for their sins, and God says, man must be judged. The Father says, man must be judged, and he appoints the Son, God the Son, Jesus, to be the one who is judged. He's the one that does what the Father wills. That's kind of deep, isn't it? But it's amazing that Jesus is the Word of God. He accomplishes the Father's will. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the Son of God, made all things. The seasons, the moon, the planets, the air that we breathe, the flowers that we smell, every kind of fruit that we enjoy, all the fish in the sea and in the fresh water, gravity, all the laws of nature, God the Son, Jesus Christ is the one who made all these things. So that person who died on the cross for our sins was the Almighty Eternal God, who is before all things, who is God, who made all. Nothing was made without him. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the source of life. Every one of us in here today is alive today because of Jesus, the Son of God, who created life. That's why we're alive today, because of that one who we know as Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. He is life. He's the giver of spiritual life. He's the giver of light. He's the truth. Verses 4 and 5 read, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When God the Son became a man, born of the Virgin Mary, he was the bringer of light into darkness. Have you ever been in what we would call pitch darkness? Absolute darkness? Once we had a tour in the U.S. when we were in the States, and we went into this cave. And it was a very deep cave system, very deep into the earth. And the tour guide led us there with flashlights. And we walked a long time, deeper and deeper into the ground. And we got very far. They turned off all the lights. It was so dark that you could put your hand right in front of your face and not see it. It was like you could feel the darkness just pressing on you. It was so weird to almost feel the darkness because it's so dark. And then we're all starting to be afraid and feeling claustrophobic and wanting the light. And they turned the light back on and we all felt relief again. And we saw the light in the darkness to guide us back out. Jesus is the light that shines in darkness. This world is without God, is spiritually dead. Lies and deception cover the earth. It is so hard sometimes to not get angry at all the lies on TV, on television, on social media, on YouTube. Between the politicians all lying, and then all the newscasters lying, and then people just lying every day in life, and people just abusing each other, corruption and deceit and scammers. So much lying everywhere around us. And our own hearts are even given to lying and into hypocrisy. Jesus came into this world of darkness that's dark because of sin and lies and deceit. And he brings in light and he brings in truth. And verse 5 tells us that when God the Son came into this world to shine in the darkness, that the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness, the people of the world were not ready and wanting to receive him. His light shone, and instead of going to the light and wanting the light and wanting the truth, John chapter 3 tells us they didn't want the light, so they ran from the light. They didn't want to go to the light of Jesus, because if they go to the light of Jesus, the light shines in their dark hearts and shows them just how dark they are. And people don't want to know how dark they are, so they turn away from the light. And mankind did not openly receive Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, when he became a man, to give them light and life. They did not readily receive him. All of these things and more are in these first five verses of the Gospel of John. So amazing to think about. You come to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. You know the story of John the Baptist, that great prophet preaching throughout all the land. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, preparing the way for the people to hear about Jesus, to see Jesus. He prepared the way for him. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, verse 9, which lights every man that comes into the world. All of us need the light of God. Jesus, the Son of God, came to bring us light. This world sits in darkness and needs the light of Jesus. We need Jesus himself. And then you come to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The world knew him not. Have you ever stopped to think about how hard that was for Jesus, as the Son of God became man, who had become man? The humility that Jesus had to have, to be rejected by his own creation, to be preaching and teaching and showing who God is every day, and only this very tiny number of people believe on him. And then he goes to the cross and is completely rejected by the people, his own chosen people. The shame, the dishonor, the disgrace that is for Almighty God, the Word, made flesh to experience that. But then we come to verse 11 and it says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But verse 12 is that promise that we love. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we receive God the Son, he gives us the power to become his own. Are you a child of God this morning? Are you? If you are, it's because you have received the Word of God. You have received the Son of God. You have received the light and life of God, who is Jesus Christ. And as we open up our hearts to receive him by faith, He is the one who gives us the power to become the Son of God, those who believe on his name. And then verse 13 makes it very clear that salvation has nothing to do with us. Verse 13, which we're born into God's family, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We don't just get saved from our sins and become a child of God and be made right with our Creator again just because we want to. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God and be forgiven and changed and become a child of God. Only God can do that. He gives us the power to become a child of God when we receive His Son. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John says, speaking of the apostles who saw him. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus, the one who is full of grace and truth. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I believe I was 15 years old the first time I preached a message. And the text that I preached was John 14 and verse 6. And I absolutely love this verse. Jesus is getting close to that moment when he's going to be crucified. And in John 13 through 17, he teaches his disciples many important truths they need to have in their hearts to remember for when he's gone. And in John chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going away. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you. Don't let your heart be troubled. You keep believing in God. Believe on me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwellings. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going ahead of you to heaven to be with the Father. There are many dwellings there. I'm preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to come again. And I'm going to bring my people to heaven to be with me. And where I'm going, you know. You know where I'm going. And you also know the way to get where I'm going, he says in verse 4. But as we all know, the disciples didn't understand lots of the things that Jesus taught when he was with them. And they didn't know what he was talking about here either. And Thomas says, Lord, we know not where you're going. We know not where thou goest. And how can we know the way? He just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Cambodia is a land where your average person, the vast majority, are Buddhist. If you try to preach the gospel to a Cambodian, the first person almost everyone will say to you when you first start preaching the gospel to them is they will say, oh yeah, all religions are good. They're all good. Oh, it's so nice that you came here to Cambodia to preach the gospel of Jesus because all religions are good. And for them, all the ways and paths of religion all have good about them, and they all teach you how to live better and to be a better person, to love and to do right and don't do wrong, don't sin, don't hurt people, don't murder. All religions teach these things. Therefore, all religions are good. And you have your way of religion that teaches you to do right, and we have our way. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, there's one way. Only one. I was talking to Beverly, is it? On the way here in the taxi. And she said she's from Mindanao. If you ask 10 people, what's the best way to get to Mindanao? You're going to hear a bunch of different answers. probably a lot of people are going to say, just fly there. That's the easiest way. But there are other ways to get there too. You can cross the island and then cross a boat. Or you can just get on a boat nearby and go the whole way in a boat. You can take the highway, the best, biggest, broadest roads, or you could take all the little side roads to the villages. You could walk. There's just all kinds of ways that you could end up getting to where her hometown is. There might be better ways than others, but there are lots of ways to get there. When it comes to salvation and going to heaven to be with God and being made right with God, there is only one way, not lots of paths, not one best way, and some ways are okay or kind of good or half right and half wrong. No, there's only one way, and this is why Christians receive their persecution from unbelievers, because we have the demand that people must believe on Jesus Christ to be made right with God, their Creator, to have their sins taken away in order to be forgiven so that they can be right with God and go to be with God in heaven. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am that way. Jesus didn't just create a way for us to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. Through his life and his righteous life, through his death on the cross, he paid for our sins in his body on the cross, and he rose again the third day. And because of that, he is the way. Him, the person of Jesus. People don't need Christianity. They don't need more religion, right? They need a person. They need the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. Our God, the God of the Bible, our Creator, and specifically here Jesus, the Son of God, is the only way we can find true truth. 100% truth. How many of you listen to podcasts? Anybody listen to podcasts? How many of you watch YouTube, follow YouTube channels? Raise your hand, you follow YouTube channels or not? Okay. There are a lot of good channels out there that have good information, right? You learn a lot of good things. People that want to advocate different causes, and they say a lot of good things, lots of truth. Sometimes political people can say a lot of good things as well. But all of these channels and all of these things that we listen to and follow, it's always a mixture, right? Even the best of them, even preachers aren't 100%. Only God himself is true. Truly true. 100% trustworthy. Everything that he says, you can put your life on. You can believe. Jesus said, I am the truth. We can trust in him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible teaches us very clearly that all of mankind sits in darkness, and that darkness is spiritual, and it means death. We don't have life. We don't have a relationship with God, our Creator. We've been cut off because of our sinfulness. Our guilt and our shame keeps us between, is in between us and God. And the only way for that to be removed so that we can have God's life and be restored to him is through Jesus himself only. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's a man right now in Phosat, Cambodia, who has almost died countless times, but he's still alive. And it looks like he's about to die. And this time it looks like he's really going to die. And so we've been to the cemetery even the last week. There's a plot of ground, and some of the guys in the church were digging a grave and getting it ready for him, thinking he was going to die that day. And that's been like a week, and he's still alive. But the grave is there. Okay. Where was I going with that? I had a reason why I was bringing that up. Where am I here? No man comes to the Father but by me. There you go. All right. So there's this grave all ready to go now in Posat, Cambodia, where we live, ready, waiting for this man to go into the grave. This man has professed salvation in Jesus Christ multiple times over the years. He's been a severe alcoholic. And we put him in a facility where they dried him out, as we say in the States. We dried him out, and he got all the alcohol out of his system, and his mind came back, and he restored his health, and he professed Christ, and we thought he was a believer in Christ. And he joined the church. He was growing, and he was hungry for the Word of God. And then one day, I'm sitting there with the Cambodian pastor, and he walks up to me, and he says, "No one is going to be the Lord of my life except me." And he turns around and walks up the hill and goes straight to buy some homemade whiskey off the street and has been an absolute alcoholic, you know, for years afterwards. Every time we'd visit him and go talk to him, he'd say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian." Gutter alcoholic. Well, he lost his mind. He lost his mind because of alcohol. Sometimes you're talking to him and he makes some sense, and other times doesn't make any sense. His wife is a very strong Christian. A couple of his children are very strong Christians. But there he is. Now he's dying and his mind is all messed up, and we can't tell where his heart is before God because his mind is gone. There's only one person that knows where this man is in relationship to God, and that is God himself. And what is God looking for when God looks at that man? Has he finally, in his heart, received Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as his salvation? Has he received Jesus as the only way, the only truth, and the only life for him? And if he gets that, he's not going to be able to communicate that to us because of the state of his mind. But God knows. God knows. What will we do with Jesus? So, it could be that before we even get back to Cambodia here in a few days, this man has his funeral. And as we preach his funeral, someone's going to be preaching that funeral. And what are we going to say about this man? We have hope that he has placed his trust in Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. But we don't know. Only God knows. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to dispel darkness and bring his light. Jesus came to give life to the dead. Jesus said, "I am the life. I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me." My purpose before you this morning has been to lift up who Jesus Christ is. I assume that almost, if not all of you listening to me right now, are already believers in Jesus Christ. And I hope that's true. I hope everyone in here knows Jesus Christ already. Do you? Have you received Jesus, the Son of God? If you have not received Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you remain in darkness. You remain a slave to the sins of this world. You are spiritually dead. You are not ready to die because there's no place in heaven for you until you receive Jesus Christ to give you his salvation, the forgiveness of sins, his Spirit, so that you can become his child. If you do not know Jesus Christ, come to him and receive him. He gives you the power to become his child. There's nothing you can do but come to him to receive it. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me," Jesus said, "and I will not refuse you." God always receives the humble. He always rejects the proud. Let's pray.